This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
Good evening. Welcome to Hide and Seek. I'm Dean Beck. This is your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And he is Andrew the Apprentice.
Good evening, Dean.
How are you, sir?
Very well.
Lovely to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
Big day for HIV in the media.
It was. It is.
It
still,
has been.
It has been.
It will continue
it
to
will
be.
It will continue to be for days to come, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Great promotion for World AIDS Day.
Yes, couldn't be done better.
I'm not sure that was entirely the motivation.
No.
But, you know, we will capitalise on that.
We will.
In a good way.
In a good way. And yes, have a chat about all things about that. We are talking about Charlie Sheen, in case you missed it.
Now, we'll be joined by a Mr. Joel Murray, who is a man who is living with HIV. He has been on this station quite a few times before talking about co-infection. He is highly versed in what has been transpiring over the last couple of days, and we'll draw on his lived experience to provide commentary on Mr. Charlie Sheen et al.
And, yeah, a whole range of stuff. And, of course, it is, as you mentioned, World AIDS Day on the 1st of December.
It is indeed. Huge activities taking place here in Melbourne.
Yes.
We'll cover some of those as we...
Over the next few weeks, exactly.
Yeah. Now, we would love to hear from you. We would love you to get in contact with us and share your thoughts. This is how you do it.
SMS 0427-JOY949. Call 1300-JOY949. Email on air at joy.org.au. Joy 94.9.
Just shake that ass. On it, baby.
Joy.
Get on it. Just shake what your mama gave you. Get on it.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
But first, it's time for the news.
Yes, it is. Now, the Kirby Institute and the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society has released their Monopolies relationship study.
Monogamy and polyamory.
It is. Now,
it's very clever what they do at the Kirby Institute.
It is. 4,215 men completed the survey. 18% had no partners. 18% had boyfriend only. 19% had fuck buddies only, and there's a whole range of different dynamics in between.
But if you don't have a partner, does that mean you have a fuck buddy?
No.
Oh, it's all I'm confused. Monopoly.
So 70% reported having a regular partner. 26% had two or more regular partners. And only half describe themselves as being in a relationship with any of those partners.
What does this tell us, Andrew?
That there's a range of, and a diverse range of pairings, couplings.
And what we can loosely call relationships.
And what we can loosely call relationships. Sex-wise, 44% said they had sex weekly, at least weekly. Also, interestingly, only 51% said they trust their partner completely. 25% said they were slightly to very dissatisfied with their relationship.
Rightio.
And younger guys were more likely to have one regular partner at a time, consider themselves monogamous, but also had more short-term partnerships.
Very interesting.
There we go.
In other news, news a little closer to this very program.
Yes.
I'm very pleased to say that Hide and Seek has had an unprecedented response to its couple of programs that have covered PrEP recently. The PrEP Now with Professor Bob Grant and the Getting Prepped for Sex with the lovely Phil
Yep.
has had a mega lot of downloads.
Yes.
I'm not authorised to tell you the exact amount, but can I just say, more than we've ever had in the time that we've had.
On average, probably twice
the normal.
Probably twice normal. Yeah.
And in half the time.
Yes, exactly.
It's just been unbelievable. And so what that tells us is that you guys here in Melbourne have a tremendous thirst.
And worldwide.
And worldwide. For information regarding PrEP. So it is my great pleasure to announce that I will be hosting for World AIDS Day a Community Activation in Conversation Forum at 11 a.m. World AIDS Day at the Doherty Institute. And this will be a free forum exploring the burning issues of PrEP in Victoria, including access and understanding of PrEP from the newly formed community groups, of which we've had on this program, heads of HIV organisations, trial researchers and trial participants. So please, if you can, get along to the Doherty Institute in Elizabeth Street at 11 a.m. December 1, World AIDS Day, for the Preparation Forum.
Now, our friends down at the Laird, Bearing the Burden is on there at the moment, and there is a special exhibition day happening on Sunday the 21st, where women are allowed to attend. It is Bearing the Burden is an exhibition with a range of drawings from Jimmy, and there is a silent auction happening, so you can get along to the Laird, check it all out, and yeah, make a bid. And all donations go to the Switchboard,
which is, of course, a great cause. You are with Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice on Hide and Seek. Up next, we'll speak to Joel Murray and, of course, all those issues of HIV in the media today.
Hide and Seek. Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
You are listening to Hide and Seek with Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice. Now, earlier today, overnight Melbourne time, Charlie Sheen spoke to the Today Show in the USA, and together with his doctor, they had this to say.
Now, more of our exclusive conversation with Charlie Sheen. In our last half hour, he shared a very personal announcement that he is HIV positive. He decided to speak out now in part because he says he didn't want to live in fear that someone else would divulge it. Charlie is back now along with his personal physician, Dr. Robert Huizenga, an assistant professor of clinical medicine, at UCLA. And we want to warn people that some of our conversation may contain adult subject matter. Before I get to you, Doctor, you made this announcement in our last half hour. Are you feeling relief?
I'm more than I thought possible.
You feel good about it?
Very much so.
Doctor, how long have you been working with Charlie?
I've known Charlie probably 5-6 years.
This is an educational moment. We are in 2015, and while no one wants a diagnosis of being HIV positive, people live long, normal, productive lives while they carry the virus. What is his exact medical condition? Now, we should mention, Charlie has given you permission to talk about this.
Charlie has contracted the HIV virus. He was immediately put on treatment, strong antiviral drugs, which have suppressed the virus. Unfortunately, we don't have a cure yet. It's suppressed the virus to the point that he is absolutely healthy from that vantage. And my biggest concern with Charlie as a patient is substance abuse and depression from the disease more than what the HIV virus could do in terms of shortening his life, because it's not going to.
Let's take those things one at a time. So you're saying to me at the moment, Charlie has an undetectable level of the virus in his blood.
Correct. That is absolutely correct.
There have been some media outlets over the last couple of days speculating that Charlie has AIDS.
Charlie does not have AIDS. AIDS is a condition when the HIV virus markedly suppresses the immune system and you're susceptible to rare, difficult cancers and infections. Charlie has none of those. He is healthy. He does not have HIV. He does not have AIDS.
Some very important information. Now, Charlie said in our last half hour that it is impossible for him to transmit this virus to someone else. I assume you meant through even unprotected sex?
I meant through protected sex.
Through protected sex.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
Individuals who are optimally treated, who have undetectable viral loads, who responsibly use protection, have an incredibly low, it's incredibly rare to transmit the virus. We can't say that that's zero, but it's a very, very low number.
Because in checking with the CDC, they say the virus can still hide in genital fluids, and the level of virus can go up and down between testing. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say. However, if someone's conscientious and we have done repeated labs every several months over the last 4 years, then the odds of variations in between drug tests and lab tests would have to also be expected to be very, very low.
Charlie, are you taking the so-called triple cocktail? Is that what medication you're on?
Every day.
How many pills are you taking each day?
Four.
Are you worried? You talked about his drug abuse and alcohol. First, are you still doing drugs?
No, I'm not. No.
Are you still drinking?
No, I'm still drinking a little bit, yeah. Yeah.
Are you worried that in an impaired state that Charlie will simply lapse on taking his medication? I mean, it impairs your judgment. Can he be trusted, and I'm talking with him right here, can he be trusted to continue to take that medicine on a regular basis if he continues to drink and perhaps do drugs?
We're petrified about Charlie. We're so, so anxious that if he was overly depressed, if he was abusing substance, he would forget these pills. And that's been an incredible worry. And magically, somehow, in the midst of incredible personal mayhem, he's managed to continue to take these medications.
Over the course of 4 years, as you have never missed taking your medication.
I have not. No. Never once. No.
A lot of people then look and say, Charlie, you should stop drinking. You say you've stopped doing drugs. You need to stop drinking as well.
Perhaps the freedom of today might lead to that as well.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
Hide and seek with Dean and Andrew. That is, of course, the interview with Charlie Sheen that occurred overnight along with his physician.
Our thanks to those at the Today Show for that audio. Yes. Now, Joel Murray, thank you for joining us on Hide and Seek tonight.
It's always a pleasure.
Very big day for the HIV sector, I'd suggest.
Absolutely huge, I think. I think this is a really fantastic opportunity for a lot of people who don't know much about the virus or have had no contact with the virus in a long time to start to talk about it.
As the host said, it's a huge educational moment for the sector.
Absolutely. I mean, the reach of this, you know, has been into, you know, the general population. It's not just in the
It's been a
risk.
Long time since we've had one of these.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And Hide and Seek's co-host James Finlay, who's currently in South America, I think, he tweeted earlier today, currently having discussions about the differences between HIV and AIDS.
Right, right.
In a hostel, in a youth hostel in Brazil.
Joel, people living with HIV have been having those conversations every single day of their life since their diagnosis. It never ends, does it?
No, it doesn't. You know, the first disclosure of your status is probably the hardest, but it doesn't always get easier.
I find it really interesting that Matt Lauder opened with, you must be feeling a sense of relief having spoken out, and he said, an unbelievable sense of relief.
It is. I mean, to have a public disclosure and to be comfortable with your own status so much so that you are going to disclose it is a wonderful thing.
And we've seen that complicated by the fact that he was blackmailed over so many years.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah. I mean, it certainly wasn't on his own terms in some ways.
But as we're sort of seeing in the broader media, there seems to be a commentary that and Charlie's sort of indicated that himself, it's sort of a sense of empowerment comes now and
he'll stop paying as of today.
And also, but as he indicated at the very end, this could be something that assists him to reduce his substance use and also improve his mental health.
I thought that was a really interesting comment at the very end. I mean, Matt Lauder made it very clear that he should give up drinking, which I thought was a little pointed. Mm. But at least Charlie acknowledged that perhaps with the sense of relief that this brings him, that's a possibility that hasn't been so.
I think the largest part to play is the stigma, the internal stigma that a person who is newly diagnosed or, you know...
That space of blackmail only exists with the presence of stigma.
Absolutely. Mm.
I mean, you've only got something over someone if their own internalised shame outweighs whatever the price tag is.
It's horrible. Stigma
it is, horrible.
Is horrible.
It really is horrible.
So how do you think these conversations... We've sort of seen, certainly in LGBTI media, that obviously we're sort of leading the charge in, this is how you should be talking about it. What have you been your observations of how mainstream, in inverted commas, media is covering it?
I think in Australia particularly, they're covering it in quite a sensitive way. It's been surprising. You know, you read the online article and so the journalist gets, you know, they get the terms right and they're respectful and they talk about it in a non sort of judgmental way. But it's then when you go onto the comments underneath the article that, you know.
I think it's important to acknowledge that in the lead up to this, we had 24 hours of discussion, which in itself was wrong. I mean, it was about disclosing his status before he'd actually spoken. That in itself is incorrect. But what it did do was give our agencies, like Living Positive Victoria and the Victorian AIDS Council, a chance to step forward into that media space and say, look, we're here to provide expert commentary, and these are the guidelines that you need to, when it goes live, have the conversation in your articles that is compliant, correct, and factual.
Yeah, I think that was really integral. Also, was to have those voices in the media mix today. For example, the moment I opened Facebook, I had multiple articles from people living in the sector, but in mainstream media.
Mm. And Paul Kidd was on the radio from 7:30 this morning. I heard Brent Allen today at just after 3 o'clock on ABC radio. So those guys have been working their butts off.
Absolutely. I mean, it was Paul Kidd's article I saw this morning on SBS, right, for example.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot to thank them for.
We do. So, Joel, as was sort of mentioned, you know, the mental health sector, I guess, has got organisations that have got guidelines around, and we use them here at Joy, around how to talk about mental health. Is it the case that obviously, although it takes this sort of time for the HIV sector to do the same thing, do you think there's a case that we the HIV sector needs to make sure that those guidelines are well known broadly?
I think there is a role.
On a day-to-day basis, I guess.
Well, no, but I think this is the opportunity to have that conversation. So, you know, it's that ongoing conversation about what are the right terms, what are stigma-free terms, you know, what is the difference between HIV and AIDS, for example. These are really important things for the media to get right. Because if they get it wrong, then, you know, what does it say of two people living with HIV already?
Mm. For many of them, the last time they commented on this was over a decade ago, like to the extent that they are today. And I think a hell of a lot's changed in 10 years, you know, not the least of which is the life expectancy of people living with HIV and their projected outcomes. The doctor spoke, of course, with permission of Charlie Sheen. It's important to note that. But their discussion around treatment as prevention, the suppression of the virus, was an interesting one. It was one that the host, Matt, struggled to get his head around. But I found it interesting that the conversation around protected sex and the transmission of HIV, Charlie Sheen paused before answering and said his was protected sex. Now, protected sex has changed in the last 3 years.
It includes treatment as prevention. So, you know, people living with an undetectable viral load, you know, it's virtually impossible for them to pass on the virus with the absence of condoms. And in fact, they could actually, treatment as prevention could be more effective than condoms.
And we're still having that conversation.
Yeah, it comes down to that definition of protection, really, doesn't it? I think us in the sector broadly, or in the LGBTI space, I suppose, are now getting used to using the phrase condomless sex.
Yes.
As opposed to protected sex, which is still, you know, it's a struggle sometimes. You always forget sometimes. But that certainly wasn't the language that was being used in the interview.
And the other thing is, it's also the safe versus safer sex. I think it is, if you get the terms right, you know, it takes a little bit to get used to, but at the end of the day, we are talking about HIV transmission. We're not talking about the other STIs. So, you know, you have to be careful about the language that you use to make sure that the message is right.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew the Apprentice and Dean Becker with you. Joel Murray is joining us in the studio to discuss how the media is treating
Mr. Sheen.
Mr. Sheen. And a few other bits and pieces. So.
He said Mr. Sheen thinks that he contracted HIV through sex, and that's certainly the most, popular way of contracting it. Popular? Prevalent. Prevalent.
I was going to say common.
Common. Yeah, common. Okay, let's use that word. However, I guess it's an indication of him having his own coping mechanisms, the way his drug use has played out over the more recent times. It goes some ways to explaining why he's been a little bit off the rails.
It absolutely does. I know for myself that after my diagnosis, that, you know, that I wanted to kind of escape from that reality. And part of it was about going out and just having lots of sex and taking drugs.
And numbing the reality of what was, what now was.
And in some ways postponing that kind of any sort of sadness or angst or any of the sort of negative emotions that I was going to have about that diagnosis. I just kept postponing those. Mm, mm.
Which is that numbing space, isn't
it?
Yeah.
One thing I thought was interesting in that Charlie was talking about, he's by the story, he went on to treatment extremely quickly.
Yeah, I think, you know, that is a new paradigm in Australia, the treatment, treat early. Back when I was diagnosed, we had guidelines that said, you know, it was sort of when your CD4, your white blood cells drop under 500, then that's the time to consider treatment. But these days, it's, you know, it's treat as early as the patient is ready.
And that gives you the greatest and longest outcomes going forward.
Not only that, but it means you're less likely to transmit the virus.
Indeed. Your options of getting to an undetectable state happen a lot earlier.
Really quickly.
And you're not having to micromanage that side of things as well.
That's a really good point to make, Dean, because for the first 3 years I wasn't treated, but it meant that I had to be very careful about what type of practices I was going to engage in to make sure that I wasn't going to transmit the virus. Mm. And I mean, I can comfortably say that I haven't transmitted, well, as far as I know, I haven't transmitted the virus because I've taken precautions. I've notified my partners and I've...
But as someone living with HIV, you double think everything as it is. And to have that extra sort of knowledge of an undetectable viral load is very empowering.
Absolutely. When I got onto treatment, which it was 2 years ago, within 2 weeks, I had an undetectable viral load.
And yet some people, you know, they say it will take at least up to 6 months, and that's not always the case, is it?
No, for some people, they can't achieve an undetectable viral load for whatever reason. But, you know, for having that actual, knowing that the body is not having to fight the virus on its own is
And knowing
very
that
relieving.
The body is responding to treatment, that in itself is an empowering situation.
Oh, instantly had more energy. Not instantly, but, you know. Yeah. And I stopped taking lunchtime naps, let's just say that.
But mentally more empowering, I think. You know.
I think also it helps to fight the internal stigma.
Yeah.
Because you don't feel like you're going to infect someone.
So with Charlie, though, it doesn't seem that happened quite like that because, as he was talking about, his substance use and... Well, I suppose, firstly, the mental health impact of his diagnosis and therefore the subsequent substance use did seem to have a significant, as we've seen in the public, a significant impact on his lifestyle.
Disclosing is not the easiest thing to do, and certainly not when you're a high-profile person, when there is stigma and miseducation in the community. I mean, as you said earlier, it's been sort of 10 years since we've talked about this. The major media have talked about this in a big way.
Andrew, I haven't mentioned this to you, but I had a phone call 48 hours ago from a journalist who wanted to do a story on being someone of profile in a community.
Yep.
And what my thoughts were as to Charlie Sheen coming forward. And I said, look, I'm really not comfortable talking about this until he has... till those words have come out of his mouth.
Sure, yep.
Because it's not really, in my mind, that sort of pre-disclosure thing is wrong.
Yeah.
And whilst I gave sort of some advice as to how people might cope with this story coming to the fore, I wasn't really comfortable commenting on him until he'd said something.
Yes. Mm. We could have got it wrong. Yeah. Somebody could have got it wrong. But also, you know who was going to be coming forward.
Hell of a story to get wrong.
Yeah, I know. But
also, it's not your own. The person who's diagnosed with HIV, it's their disclosure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't disclose on behalf of someone else. Yeah. I think the same rules
certainly
apply.
In the public domain like that. Mm. I mean, it's anyway. We've had a message come through
from Ryan, and he's you know, saying that journalists this morning some journalists had no idea how to approach the subject. He feels that there was quite a bit of stigma, and apparently the journalist said something along the lines of, I don't want to sound like a grim reaper, but how can he be sure he didn't spread it? Ryan is saying, now that's two terms I do not believe should be used. It takes us back to the 80s campaign, and then resulting in the transmission question. Broadcasters should have the responsibility to have an informed and sensitive coverage of the issues.
Well, I didn't hear that one this morning because I don't watch the mainstream media on TV.
Thank you very much for that message. Now, this, of course, the prevalence of self-medicating, of drug use by people who are living with HIV is something that our community is very much au fait with, and it has consequences. Not the least of which is the potential for co-infection with hepatitis C. What we do know is those living with HIV are somehow more susceptible to the hepatitis C virus. And whilst we have new medications that are highly effective in treating most people with it and clearing it, they're extraordinarily expensive. They're not available to everyone. They don't work for everyone necessarily. And it's an experience, Joel, that you yourself have been through.
It was a double whammy. So it was 6 months after my HIV diagnosis, I got called into the clinic and they said, oh, you've got hep C. And it just...
Ba-dum!
I was like, wait, what? You know, the one thing I knew about
hep C... It's not a bonus.
Well, it was definitely not a free gift with purchase.
No. So how did you react to that? I mean, did you know what that meant, firstly?
No, I didn't really know anything about hep C. I knew sort of that maybe it was there were risks around injecting drug use.
And that it is most prevalent amongst those who inject drugs and share equipment.
That's correct, but that wasn't me in that category. So I was like, well, how the hell did I get it?
Yeah.
And so did you go on to treatment? Because we've heard interferon is a horrible drug.
Hell on wheels.
So, because of my hep C diagnosis, that further sort of said to my HIV doctor, let's not treat you for HIV right now. Let's treat the hep C first. Mm-hmm. I went on the interferon.
Because both of them affect the liver, firstly.
Yes, and it was also about, he just wanted to get rid of the hep C because it was still in the acute.
Let's get that. Yeah,
and I kind of agreed with him, but I didn't realise the impact that medicine would have had on my body and my mind.
Your point of diagnosis, that was the only option, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
And the drug that I referred to earlier is not that.
No. The drug you referred to earlier, I still haven't been able to access it. I wasn't able to access any of the trials for it, but I can't wait to access it because all the negative aspects of my failed interferon treatment are not going to be an issue anymore.
Yeah.
I believe there's expected to be announcements from the federal government in the near future around hep C drugs.
I'm hearing sort of March, April is what I'm hearing.
God, Andrew's got his finger on the pulse. Tell you what. What do you like?
At Joy 94.9, there are approximately 300 volunteers bringing you over 75 shows, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of facts and figures to take in, but here's one more number for you to think about. 1-300-569-949. That's the number to call to talk to the Joy sales team about becoming a Joy sponsor. One phone call can get your business on air and online, reaching thousands of Joy listeners at a price you can afford. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
It hurts. You're with Dean Beck, Andrew the Apprentice, our special guest Joel Murray, who is talking about his lived experience with HIV in the shadow of Mr. Sheen coming forward and saying that he's HIV positive.
Yes. Now, we were talking a little bit about hep C. So interferon is a horrible drug, as you've discussed. So essentially, you said you're going to have to wait, I guess?
Yeah, well, I did this treatment for 6 months and it was meant to be 12 months. So I came off it halfway through.
Crazy.
I was literally going crazy.
Crazy.
But yeah, they just said, interferon's not an option for you. So
crazy.
It's best to wait.
So does that have any permanent impact on your body whilst you wait?
At the moment, it hasn't had a permanent impact on my body.
The funny thing about Hep C is it takes a long time to do its damage. I mean, it gets worse as it gets on, but it takes a long time to do that.
But quicker in HIV-positive people, indeed. But still a indeed. Long time. Yeah. I mean, I get my blood test done to check my liver function every 3 months. I get a once yearly fibro scan, which tests the hardness of
scarring.
Your liver.
Yep. Yeah. And you've also gone on treatment since for your HIV.
Exactly. So I, you know, even though I've got still living with Hep C, I feel quite in control because I can manage the risks around transmission of Hep C quite easily.
Mm-hmm. We do know that Hep C does transmit quite easily. So what are some of the risk strategies you use?
It's always about having clean equipment around if you're going to have injecting drug use. But the other thing is around, you know, long, more extended sexual play where there could be... Wear and tear. That's a very good way of describing it.
Thanks, Joel.
Little small particles of blood can, you know, can transmit the virus. So, you know, it's about washing one boy, one toy, you know.
And extensions thereof.
Yeah. You know, washing your hands after you've been doing fisting, for example.
Yep.
So it's a weak virus because it gets destroyed by hot water and soap.
Well, that's
but
helpful.
It stays around for a while, so don't share a toothbrush.
Indeed, whilst it is a weak virus, it's not as weak as HIV, which only lasts seconds in the open air. Hep C can last quite an extended period in the right conditions.
Yeah.
But hot water and soap is a good antidote.
It is.
Right. Well, we'll clarify that. So do you find now that you, and this is sort of a flip of that, you have gone onto HIV treatment sort of by default because you want to deal with Hep C later. Have you found that by taking control of that one thing, you're better able to manage the other?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the HIV started to really, my CD4 levels started to drop. So my body was really working hard to fight the virus.
To fight both. Yeah.
Well, exactly, to fight both. And once I had the undetectable viral load, well, all of a sudden my body was just like, whoa, I've got this energy back.
And you felt that?
I did literally feel it. Because I got to the point where I was taking a nap every single day at lunchtime.
Right.
To get through the day. And something I didn't
bouncing
need my
off
naps.
The wall, sweetie. Yeah.
Which, you know, which is great because it means also that I've got the energy to do good exercise and go to the shops and make sure I've got good food. All
and
those
it means
basic...
your body's also putting energy into repairing itself and looking after itself
correct.
As well. Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's it means cool. that, you know, my HIV isn't such a... It's not so much of an issue anymore because my immune system's less compromised,
sure.
which means that if I get the cold, that I'm not off for so long. You know, yeah. It's all those little things that add up to having just a better life, a more...
But you also look after yourself. I know you eat well and you, you know, rather pointed as that at doing that. So those things must also play out in your general well-being.
They do, and it means, but it also means that my mental health has improved over the years.
Yep.
I've been able to take control of my drug use, which meant that I was also able to gain meaningful employment.
Yeah. Yep.
These are all things that have been a benefit.
So, Charlie, there's hope for you yet.
Yes, he has never had meaningful employment, really, has he?
Oh, well, I'll leave that to others to decide. I've swallowed just about as much as I can take from Andrew the Apprentice, but that's all right. We have Joel Murray with us. We've been talking about Charlie Sheen and living with HIV today. Now, Joel, of course, disclosure is what Charlie has ultimately done today.
Yes.
And you wanted to bring up something pretty important in the disclosure space.
Yes. Well, you know, a very good friend of mine, Campbell, came up with this great idea.
He's a young chap.
He's a young thing, but he's quite connected.
Switched on.
Yeah.
And I've got to give him credit.
So there was this convention on profiles, mostly on Scruff, where HIV-positive people would put in square brackets a plus symbol, which indicated that you're positive.
Yes.
Well, but Cam came up with this idea of plus you, which meant I'm HIV positive, but I've got an undetectable viral load.
Very clever.
Pardon the pun, it went viral.
Had to happen.
Bang, bang.
Yeah, and interestingly, one of those apps, in fact, I think the app that Cam launched the idea on, has adopted their own policy.
It is fantastic. So on one of these apps now, what you can do is you can select your sexual preference in terms of your safer sex practices. And the three options are condoms, treatment as prevention, and PrEP. Isn't that great?
That is great.
You can tick all three or so
is
one
that,
or
is it a disclosure
whatever.
Thing or is that what you want to use in the space? Or
it's what you want to use.
I'm a bit confused.
So if you were HIV negative, you might want to tick condoms or PrEP.
Right.
I guess.
Meaning that you're on it or that
meaning
you want to have sex with someone on it?
I would think, well, as
so
we know.
So that's where I'm confused.
Safer sex, you should be taking responsibility for yourself.
Right.
So therefore you should
all
be
about
ticking,
you. Right. I'm happy with that.
Ticking what you're using.
Very good.
Whereas guys who are HIV positive might want to use treatment as prevention.
I still use my plus you symbol.
Because then it's very clear as to what you are.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. And it's my way of disclosing before I even engage with a person in the conversation. Which
so it actually gives them the option to engage with you.
Also sort of in another way, there's another category where I am and I'm into, I can tick pos and pos. So it's like I am pos, I'm into pos.
I see. Yeah.
But you may not be.
And that's about serosorting.
It is about serosorting. Yeah. So there are kind of a few options at play.
On the apps, have you experienced in recent times less stigma, I guess, shall we say?
Absolutely. Less discrimination and less stigma. But that was probably since I have been disclosing, I first started disclosing using the plus symbol, but I didn't always disclose up front.
So when that shift to the U.
No, just the plus for me, as opposed to having to have the conversation with the person, disclosed during the conversation. I know that when they're contacting me, they know that I'm HIV positive and they're cool with that.
Do you think that space of online dating, which really, it's only 3 or 4 years old, do you think we're getting much better at that now? And do you think that the evolution of these apps, like we've been talking about, and the disclosure options, the different sorts of safer sex options, we're getting better at that and is that breaking down the stigma?
I do think it is. And I think also that we're engaging the idea of health promotion within a community that need to be talking about those things.
The PrEP Forum is coming up on the 1st of December. Preparation, get along to it. It is Community Activation in Conversation, hosted by yours truly, 11 a.m. December 1, World AIDS Day. Be there at the Doherty Institute. Andrew, that's it from us.
That is it from us.
Thank you to our wonderful guest, Joel Murray.
Thank you, Joel.
I love it.
Thank you to Charlie Sheen for being so brave as a man in the spotlight to come forward and disclose.
Big thank you to David, who does all of our podcasts, which, as we said at the top of the show, are going through the roof, particularly those associated with discussions on PrEP.
Did I mention the Preparation Forum, Andrew? It's on December 1, World AIDS Day. It's at 11 a.m. at the Doherty Institute, and I invite everyone to come along.
Okay, we'll see if we can get another plug in the next 30 seconds. you can follow Hide and Seek at all our social media channels, which are available on the website joy.org.au.
My name is Dean Beck. You can follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on Air. Until next time.
Bye for now.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.